ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 4 பாதா 4 சம்பத்யாவிர்பாவாதிகரணம். சம்பத்யாவிர்பாவா ஸ்வேன சப்தாத் முக்தா பிரதிஜானாத் ஆத்ம பிரகரணாத் அவிபாகேன திருஷ்டத்வாதிகரணம். அவிபாகேன திருஷ்டத்வாத் பிரம்மாதிகரணம். பிராமேண ஜெய்மினிஹி உபன்யாசாதிப்யஹ சிதி தன்மாத்திரேண ததாத்மகத்வாத் இதி ஔதுலோமிஹி ஏவம் அபி உபன்யாசாத் பூர்வபாவாத் அவிருத்தம் பாதராயணஹ. சங்கல்பாதிகரணம். சங்கல்பாதேவது தஸ்ருதேஹே அத ஏவச அனன்ய அதிபதிஹி அபாவம் பாதரிஹி ஆஹஹ்யேவம். அபாவாதிகரணம். பாவம் ஜைமினிஹி விகல்ப ஆமனநாத் த்வாதசாகவது உபயவிதம் பாதராயணோதஹ தன்வபாவே சந்தியவதுபபத்தேஹே பாவே ஜாக்ரத்வத். பிரதீபாதிகரணம். பிரதீபவாதேவசஹ பிரதீபவதாதேஷ பிரதீபவதாவேஷஹ ததாஹி தர்ஷயதி ஸ்வாப்யய சம்பத்தியோஹோ அந்யதராபேக்ஷம் ஆவிஷ்கிருதம் ஹி. ஜகத்வியாபாராதிகரணம். ஜகத்வியாபாரவர்ஜம் பிரகரணாத் அசந்நிஹிதத்வாச்ச பிரத்யக்ஷ உபதேசாதிதிச்சேத் ந ஆதிகாரிக மண்டஸ்தோக்தேஹே விகாராவர்த்திச்ச ததாஹி ஸ்திதிம் ஆஹ தர்ஷயதச்சைவம் பிரத்யக்ஷானுமானே போகமாத்திர சாமியலிங்காச்ச அனாவிருத்திஹி சப்தாத் அனாவிருத்திஹி சப்தாத். வி கம்ப்ளீட்டட் தி 555 சூத்ராஸ் ஆஃப் பிரம்மசூத்ரா இன் தி லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ் தட் இஸ் எஸ்டர்டே. டுடே ஐ இன்டென்ட் டு கிவ் யூ எ சம்மரி ஆஃப் திஸ் பிரம்மசூத்ரா டெக்ஸ்ட். This Brahma Sutra, as I mentioned in the introduction, is known by different names as Vedanta Sutras because it is the analysis of Vedanta. It is also known as Shariraka Mimamsa Sutras. Shariraka meaning Atma, since it analyzes the Atma Swarupam, so it is called Shariraka Mimamsa Sutras. And it is also known as Vyasa or Badarayana Sutras, being written by Vyasacharya. And it is also known as Uttara Mimamsa Sutras because it is the analysis of the Uttara Bhaga or end portion of Vedanta. Thus, Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutras, Shariraka Mimamsa Sutras, Badarayana Vyasa Sutras, Uttara Mimamsa Sutras, these are all various names for Brahma Sutra. The same text written by Vyasacharya. And this is an analysis of the Upanishads, which are the final part of the Vedas. And by way of analyzing the Upanishads, Vyasacharya extracts the Vedanta Darshanam, a systematic teaching. Thus, Vyasacharya's job is not propounding a new system, but of extraction of a system of teaching called Vedanta Darshanam. It is not any new system. And this Vedanta Darshanam is already there in the Upanishads in hidden form or implicit form, and Vyasacharya makes them explicit. He extracts the Vedanta Darshanam hidden in the Upanishads. Just as we extract the butter from milk by a process of extraction, so is Brahma Sutra is an extraction text which extracts Vedanta Darshanam butter out of the Upanishadic milk. And Vyasacharya does this extraction process by writing in sutra form, capsule statements, which are called aphorisms or sutrani. Thus, by writing in sutra form, Vyasacharya extracts Vedanta Darshanam out of Upanishads, and thus Brahma Sutra is just only a cryptic form. And we also saw in the introduction that this Brahma Sutra has got four chapters, four adhyayas, and each chapter is subdivided into sections known as padas. And since each chapter has four sections, we have got 16 padas in Brahma Sutra. Four padas per adhyaya, four adhyayas. And each section is subdivided into topics or adhikaranams. The topics here are given a special name, adhikaranam. Thus, there are 16 padas of Brahma Sutra, and they have got 191 adhikaranams or topics. I have already mentioned all these things earlier in the introduction. And each adhikaranam is subdivided into sutras, and we have totally 191 adhikaranams divided into 555 sutras. Thus, Brahma Sutra has four chapters, 16 sections, 191 topics, and 555 sutras. This is the body of this text, Brahma Sutra. And what we propose to do today is first to give a bird's eye view of the four adhyayas or the chapters, and thereafter we will briefly mention the subject matter of the 16 padas or 16 sections. And while mentioning the subject matter of the padas, I will also refer to the important topics or adhikaranams in those padas. This will be our approach for today. Now let us start with the bird's eye view of the four chapters. And let us take the first chapter, chapter one. And the first chapter is meant to reveal that Brahman is the central theme of all Upanishads. The central theme of all Upanishads is only one thing called Brahman. Even though normally we say Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam is the central teaching, we should remember both are the same. It is so because Brahman is the inner essence of both Jivatma and Paramatma. Brahman is the inner essence of both Jivatma and Paramatma. That is for, therefore we say Brahman is the central theme here. And how does Vyasacharya establish that? He says, all the Upanishadic statements, they ultimately point out that central theme of one Brahman only contained in all of the Upanishads. And this characteristic of this statement, revealing one central subject matter, that is called Samanvaya characteristic, Samanvaya, which means the nature of all Upanishadic statements point out to only one Brahman. And we can roughly translate the word Samanvaya as convergence into Brahman. All statements roughly converge into Brahman. This convergence or Samanvaya is the proof to show that Brahman is the central teaching. So this convergence, this Samanvaya is the proof to show that Brahman is the central theme. For example, this is now elections and all happened here also recently. So during the election speech, they will say so many things. But what is the one aim of all the contenders? The Samanvaya aim is, therefore vote for me, for my party, for my candidate. That is the only message. Therefore, vote for my candidate is the central theme or tatparyam. Because of what? Convergence. Therefore, Samanvaya proves the tatparyam, or convergence proves the central theme. So Samanvaya proves tatparyam, or in other words, convergence proves the central theme of all the Upanishads. One is Hetu and another is Sadhyam. And Vyasacharya shows all statements have got Brahman convergence. And how does Vyasa show that? For that, we have got Mimamsa method. And the method is seeing the six criteria known as Shadlingani. So these Shadlingas are the six criteria have to be taken. Upakramopasamharo, Abhyasopurvata phalam, Arthavadopapatticham, Lingam, Tatparya, Nirnaye. I have given this definition then also earlier. So these are known as Shadlingani and the six clues, six indicators, Upakrama and Upasamhara. You have to evaluate the beginning, the starting portion and the ending portion. Upakrama is starting portion, Upasamhara is the ending portion. Then Abhyasa, practice, repetition. Then Apurvata, Apurvata is novelty, uniqueness. What is the unique message conveyed? Then Arthavada. Arthavada is glorification, praising. And Phalam, fruit, the benefit. And Upapatti. Upapatti is illustration through some examples. So all these six lingas. So Shad lingas reveal Samanvaya and Samanvaya proves Tatparyam. Shad lingas reveal Samanvaya. Samanvaya, Samanvaya is convergence. And Samanvaya proves the Tatparyam, central theme. So from the sixfold criteria that we just now enumerated, convergence is proved. And from convergence, the central theme is proved. And the central theme here is what? Only one thing, namely Brahman. And once Vyasacharya proves this, it means Vedanta is Pramanam. And Brahman is Prameyam. Pramanam, Prameyam. Vedanta Pramana reveals Brahman Prameya, and therefore, through Vedantic study, we get Brahman Jnana. Vedanta Pramana reveals Brahma Prameya, and therefore, through Vedantic study, we get Brahma Jnana. And Shankaracharya, in his commentary, adds two important corollaries to this. Namely, number one, is borrowed from the third chapter of Brahma Sutra, in Purushartha Adhikaranam, and Shankaracharya proves that Brahma Jnanam itself gives liberation without requiring any karma. So in the third chapter of Brahma Sutra, Purushartha Adhikaranam, he proves that Brahma Jnanam itself gives liberation without requiring any action, any karma. Therefore, Vedanta is different from Purva Mimamsa Darshanam, Karmakanda, and all that. Because Purva Mimamsa gives Prayojanam through karma. You have to do some karma through which you get the benefit. Whereas Vedanta gives Prayojanam through Jnanam itself, through knowledge itself. This is one important corollary given in the fourth sutra. Fourth sutra, first pada, first chapter, Tattu Samanvayat. He spent a lot of time analyzing this particular sutra. Then another important corollary Shankaracharya gives is, Vyasacharya reveals Brahman as Jagat Karanam. And Brahman being Chetana Vastu. Chetana Vastu means sentient entity. It means we are Chetana Karanavadis. We are all people who are engaged in Chetana Karanam. Because Vyasacharya reveals Brahman as Jagat Karanam, and Brahman being Chetana Vastu, sentient entity, we are all Chetana Karanavadis. That is, we accept Chetana Vastu as Jagat Karanam. For the cause of this universe, Jagat, there should be a sentient entity. And by emphasizing this in the second sutra, that is Janmadya Syagataha, that sutra, second sutra, first part of first chapter, Shankaracharya says, Vedanta Darshanam is different from all other Darshanams. What are the other four Darshanams? He says, Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, and Vaisheshika. Vedanta Darshanam is different from all these four. Because all these four, they say, matter is cause of creation. They are Achetana Karanavadis. matter by itself is not sentient, it is inert. And they all say matter is the cause of creation. That means they are all achetana karanavadis, whereas Vedantins are chetana karanavadis. We are chetana karanavadis. Therefore, Vedanta darshanam is different from all these four darshanams, namely Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, and Vaisheshika, because they say matter is cause of creation, and we say consciousness is cause of creation. Consciousness, Chaitanya. And Vedanta is different from Purvamimamsa also, because Purvamimamsa says karma gives benefit, whereas we say jnanam itself gives moksha. So we are different from all those four darshanams. We are also different from Purvamimamsa, which says karma is fundamental. That gives the benefit. We say jnanam itself gives moksha. Thus, we are different from all the five darshanams, and Vedanta is an unique sixth darshana. Thus, in the first chapter, Vedanta darshanam comes out as an unique sixth system of teaching extracted from the Upanishad. So in the first chapter, Vedanta Darshanam comes out as an unique sixth system of teaching extracted from the Upanishad. And what is Vedanta? Know Brahman by studying the Upanishads and be free by that mere knowledge. Don't have to do anything else. Know Brahman by studying the Upanishads and be free by that mere knowledge. And since Samanvaya is established in the first chapter, it is called Samanvaya Adhyayaha. We can call it Brahman Convergence Revelation Chapter. Swamiji calls it as Brahman Convergence Revelation Chapter. This is the first Adhyaya. It is a chapter which establishes Brahman Convergence. Now let us go to the second chapter. In the second chapter, Brahma Sutra, Vyasacharya defends the Vedanta Darshanam. Here he defends the Vedanta Darshanam. First chapter gives Vedantic essence, and the second chapter gives Vedanta defense. First chapter is Shravanam. It's a Shravanam chapter. And the second chapter is Mananam chapter. And Vyasacharya defends Vedanta Darshanam by showing that it does not have any contradiction or logical deficiencies. I have mentioned this in the introduction of these chapters also. Vyasacharya defends the Vedanta Darshanam by showing that it does not have any contradictions or logical deficiencies. It is Nirdushta Darshanam. And he eliminates three types of doshas. It is called Nirdushta Darshanam. He eliminates three types of doshas: Smriti Virodha, Shruti Virodha, and Tarka Virodha. Vedanta Darshanam does not contradict the Veda, Shruti Virodham. It is not. That there is no internal contradiction. And it does not contradict any Smriti Granthas also. Smriti Virodha is not there. Smritis are secondary literatures. And Vedanta Darshanam does not contradict the reasoning or logic also. Tarka Virodha also is not there. Therefore, Shruti Virodham, Smriti Virodham, Tarka Virodha is not there. So all these three are not there. So Shruti, Smriti, Tarka, Virodha, Pariharaha. You should not stop it, Virodham. You should say Pariharaha. The refutation. Parihara here means refutation. The refutation of these threefold contradictions that is done here. And therefore, this chapter is called Avirodha Adhyayaha. First chapter is called Samanvaya Adhyaya. This is Avirodha Adhyaya. Or Shruti, Smriti, Tarka, Virodha, Parihara Adhyaya. Shnatsi Tarka, Virodha Adhyaya. Tarka, Virodha, Shruti, Smriti, Tarka, Virodha, Parihara Adhyaya. Therefore, Avirodha Adhyaya it is called. And here the letter A in Avirodha means what? Parihara. And not only Vyasacharya defends the Vedanta Darshanam, he also establishes that all other Darshanams have Shruti, Smriti, Tarka, Virodha also. Not only Vyasacharya defends Vedanta Darshanam, he also establishes that all other darshanams have Shruti, Smriti, Tarka, Virodha. So defensive approach as well as offensive approach. That is Swamata Nirdushtatva Darshanam, Paramata Dushtatva Darshanam Cha. Swamata Nirdushtatva Darshanam, Paramata Dushtatva Darshanam Cha. Both are established by Vyasacharya. This is the second chapter of Avirodha Adhyayaha. Now let us go to the third chapter. This third chapter deals with sadhanas. Sadhanas are spiritual disciplines leading to Brahmajnana. What are the sadhanas, spiritual disciplines that lead to Brahmajnana? Karma Yoga is talked about for purification of mind. Chittasya Shuddhaye Karma. And Upasana is talked about for concentration of mind. Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Ekagrata, Chitta Naishchalyam. And Mahavakya Vichara or Jnana Yoga, that is talked about for the knowledge of Brahman. And Nididhyasanam for assimilation of that knowledge. So Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. All these sadhanas are talked about in the third chapter. Therefore, this chapter is called Sadhana Adhyaya. So, Samanvaya Adhyaya, Avirodha Adhyaya, Sadhana Adhyaya. Now, the fourth chapter, in this chapter, Vyasacharya deals with the phalam, the benefit, the phalam for Nirguna Brahma Jnanam and Saguna Brahma Upasana. Phalam for Nirguna Brahma Jnanam and Saguna Brahma Upasana. For Nirguna Brahma Jnanam, the benefit is twofold mukti, known as Jivan Mukti, while living, and Videha Mukti after death. So for Nirguna Brahma Jnanam, benefit is twofold. Twofold mukti, known as Jivan Mukti while living, and Videha Mukti after death. And for Saguna Upasana, also there are twofold muktis. The first one is called the Saguna Mukti. It is a figurative liberation, not an actual liberation. We can even call it a fake liberation, enjoying powers in Brahmaloka, enjoying so many siddhis. And as a result of these siddhis, enjoying sense pleasures. Remember producing any number of bodies, any number of sense pleasures, all that we went through for a Saguna Upasaka in Brahmaloka. Satya Kamatvam, Satya Sankalpatvam, Jakraha, Kridan, Ramamanaha, all that thing we saw. Pleasures and pleasures and pleasures, so many of them, which is called Saguna Mukti. And this is seeming liberation. And later, through Nirguna Jnanam, he gets Krama Mukti, which is real liberation. Once he gains knowledge in Brahmaloka. The Saguna Mukti and Krama Mukti are the twofold muktis for Saguna Upasaka. So these four muktis are talked about. And therefore, the fourth chapter is called Phala Adhyaya. The Samanvaya Adhyaya, Avirodha Adhyaya, Sadhana Adhyaya, and Phala Adhyaya. First Adhyaya talks about Shravanam. Second Adhyaya talks about Mananam. Third Adhyaya talks about Nididhyasanam and other disciplines, and fourth Adhyaya, Phalam. Shravana Manana Nididhyasana Phalam. So this is the bird's eye view of the four chapters of Brahma Sutra. I always give this example. Some guy really got some kind of a lottery or something and became very rich instantly. And he wanted to really take a tour of the entire world. So he got into a chartered plane and all that thing. And then he had a guide, tour guide also, to tell him about various places in the world. And as he was flying over Europe, he said, oh, this is Austria, this is Germany, this is France, and all he was telling. And this instant rich man, he was very impatient. He said, don't give me the countries, tell me the continents. So this is the bird's eye view of the continents of the entire Brahma Sutra. Now we'll quickly go through the subject matter of the 16 padas. And while dealing with them, we will also point out the important adhikaranams in each of the padas. Important adhikaranams. I am not telling sutras. important adhikaran. So we are going to go through the subject matter of these 16 padas, that is 4 padas per adhyaya and 4 adhyaya 16 padas. And the chapter 1, pada 1 is called Spashta Brahma Linga Vakya Samanvaya Adhikaraha. Spashta Brahma Linga Vakya Samanvaya Adhikaraha. Here Vyasacharya analyzes those statements, vakyas, where Brahman has got clear clues. Spashtam means clear. Brahma lingas, linga, lingas, clues. So clues about Brahman. So if Vyasacharya analyzes those statements contained in the Upanishads, where Brahman has got clear clues, spashta linga, clear indicators to show that Vedantic statements are converging into Brahman. We should not forget what is the central theme. Vedantic statements, they all converge into Brahman through Spashta Brahma Linga Vakya Samanvaya Adhikara. It is relatively easier to know that all these, they reveal Brahman only. Because the lingas are Spashta, Spashta Brahma Lingas, very clear indicators. Since clear clue statements are analyzed in this pada, this is called Spashta Brahma Linga Vakya Samanvaya Padaha. And in this pada, 4 adhikaranams are very important. I have mentioned it then. 1st, 2nd, 3rd and 4th adhikaranams. It so happens, each adhikaranam has got only one sutra. So the 1st 4 sutras. Jignyasa adhikaranam, atato brahma jignyasa. One sutra. This is the 1st sutra of Brahma Sutra. 1st chapter, Jignyasa adhikaranam, atato brahma jignyasa. Then the 2nd adhikaranam is called Janmadhyadhikaranam, Janmadhyasya yataha. That is the 2nd sutra, 2nd adhikaranam, Janmadhyasya yataha. Then 3rd one is Shastra Yonitva adhikaranam, Shastra Yonitvat. That is the 3rd sutra and that is also the 3rd adhikaranam, 1st pada. And the 4th adhikaranam is called Samanvayadhikaranam, Tat Tu Samanvayat. So these are the 4 adhikaranams, 4 sutras, Jignyasa adhikaranam, Janmadhya adhikaranam, Shastra Yonitva adhikaranam, and Samanvaya adhikaranam. 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th adhikaranam, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th sutras of Brahma Sutra. In fact, these 4 are considered to be the most important, known as Chatusutri. This I mentioned then. In fact, for those who cannot study the entire Brahma Sutra, it is recommended by people to study at least these 4 adhikaranams alone. I mentioned this at that time and suggested to people if they think that they can know everything through these 4 sutras, they don't have to sit for the rest of the lectures. In spite of it, a lot of people were brave enough to sit. So those who cannot study the entire Brahma Sutra, it is recommended by people to study at least, by people means by scholars, to study at least these 4 adhikaranams alone. Therefore, Chatusutri is very important and Shankaracharya's Bhashyam is also very comprehensive. This is Pada 1 of Chapter 1. Now let us go to the 2nd Pada. And that 2nd Pada deals with Aspashta Brahmalinga Upasana Vakya Samanvayaha. Earlier we had Spashta Linga, Pashta Brahmalingas. Now it is Aspashta Brahmalinga Upasana Vakya Samanvayaha. Here Vyasacharya takes those Upanishadic statements where Brahman clues are there, but they are not clear clues. They are Aspashta Brahmalingas, Aspashtam. For example, like the word prana. We went through this analysis very, very elaborately. The word prana meaning Brahman, word prana means Brahman, or akasha meaning Brahman. So how to know that prana is Brahman, akasha is Brahman? So unclear clues are taken and they are analyzed and later established that these unclear clues also prove revealing, they reveal Brahman convergence only. So it is Aspashta Brahmalinga Upasana Vakya Samanvayaha. And in this, mostly the statements taken are Brahma Vakyams only. But they are Brahma Upasana Jnanam and not Jnanam. Not real jnanam, but for upasana, for meditation. These are all for upasana, for meditation. Therefore, it is Aspashta Brahmalinga Upasana Vakya Samanvayaha. predominantly. And in this, we are not mentioning any selected sutras at all here in this particular section, because all of them are either equally important or not equally important. So Swamiji skips recommending any particular sutra in this. And in the third pada also, it reveals Aspashta Brahma Vakyas only. There also the clues are not clear. So those Upanishadic statements, which have unclear clue of Brahman. And Vyasacharya establishes, even though they are unclear, they are all clues revealing Brahman only. And there also Brahman convergence is there. Even though the clues are unclear, one can exercise one's own knowledge and effort to find out what is the central message contained in those clues. And they also reveal Brahman only, and there also Brahman convergence is there. Vyasacharya establishes that. And then what is the difference between previous pada and this pada? There in the second pada, the statement are directed for upasanas. They are all upasana adhyaya. Statements are all directed towards upasanas. Therefore, upasana vakya samanvaya in the second pada, whereas in the third pada, it deals with jnana vakyani, meant for knowledge predominantly. So in the second pada, it is upasana pradana. Here it is jnana pradana, knowledge predominantly. Here also some mix-up is there, but predominantly it is so. And in this pada also, we have taken one adhikaranam here, the eighth adhikaranam Swamiji recommends. This is a technical adhikaranam, wherein some important academic informations are given. This is called a Devatadi Adhikaranam. Devatadhikaranam, where we get how Veda is a pramanam. Veda pramanyam is established. Validity of the Vedas, which is discussed in Purva Mimamsa itself. They are brought in here. It's a very important topic. Whether Vedas are extinct or not, that is Indra, Agni, Varuna, all those things, all those devatas, whether they are existent or not also, do they exist or not? If you get such a question, Purva Mimamsa says they don't exist. Whether the devatas, do they exist or not for that question, Purva Mimamsa says they don't exist. Purva Mimamsa says they are only words, they are only names. There are no devatas according to them. Whereas Vyasacharya establishes that devatas are not mere words. They all exist. Therefore, devata astitva siddhi we get in this adhikarana. Devatas astiva is a question whether they are there or not. Asti or nasti. So academically, it is a very important adhikarana. And there is an analysis here of Spotavada also. This Spotavada is a very important theory of the words and their meanings. Spotavada is talking about, it's an important theory referring to the words and their meanings. These are all technically important because the word meaning, how you derive. This Adhikaranam is also chosen as important one. Veda Pramanya Siddhihi, Devata Astitva Siddhihi, Spotavada Nishedaha, all these are in this Adhikaranam. Especially actually given in the Bhashyam. Just to refresh, for example, Spotavada is what? In the theory of the school of grammarians, it is. Spotavada, the school of grammarians. How does the meaning of a word flash in the mind? When a word is said, how the meaning flashes in the mind? When a person utters the word cow, for example. Its meaning as an animal of certain characteristics flashes across the mind immediately after the word is uttered. So that factor, that principle or power by which this happens is called spota. So all these are all very intricate kind of analysis. And all these are all technically important. Why? In deriving the meaning from the Upanishads, you need to have knowledge of all this. And then the fourth pada is called Pada Matra Samanvayaha. Pada Matra Samanvayaha. And in the fourth pada, Vyasacharya takes certain words which are borrowed by the Sankhya philosophers from the Veda. So these are all words which are both Vedantins also take from the Upanishads and Sankhya also borrow from the Vedas. And he analyzes those words. And as they are taken by both the Sankhyas and the Vedantins, there is some possibility of confusion because of some common words. Both in the Sankhya philosophy and in Vedanta, there are several words which are common and there could be confusion. For example, if you take the word Prakriti, it is common to Sankhya philosophy and also to Vedanta. And another word is Mahat, Aja. These are all words which are common both in Sankhya and in Vedanta. And Vyasacharya wants to differentiate the Vedantic Prakriti from Sankhya Prakriti. For example, Sankhya Prakriti, matter is Satyam. In Sankhya, Prakriti is fundamental, matter is Satyam, whereas in Vedanta, Prakriti, the matter is Mithya. So this kind of analysis, he differentiates the Vedantic Prakriti and Sankhya Prakriti. The differentiation between Sankhya and Vedanta by analyzing the common terminologies taken from Veda by both the systems are analyzed. And we don't take sentences here, but important words only are taken. For example, Prakriti, a word. So we take such words only, not sentences completely. Since only words are taken, the Pada is called Padamatra Samanvayaha. Because one Padam only is taken. Padam is word. So in each of the Padas, only the Padams are taken. So it is called Padamatra Samanvaya. And in this Pada, we have chosen four Adhikaranams here. First, 4, 7, and 8. These are the four Adhikaranams recommended by Swamiji for study in this particular Pada. Especially in the first Adhikarana, difference between Prakriti of Sankhya and Prakriti of Vedanta are discussed very elaborately. Actually, we did all of them in our class. Whatever I'm summarizing here, they were all done extensively during our classes. So the first Adhikaranam, difference between Prakriti of Sankhya and Prakriti of Vedanta, they are discussed very elaborately. And thereafter, some other important topics are also discussed. That is why we said first, fourth, seventh, and eighth Adhikaranas. Adhikaranas, not sutras. Be careful. Thus, we have in the first chapter, 9 important topics are Adhikaranas and 27 sutras. 9 important topics of whatever I have said so far, I counted them. 9 important topics are Adhikaranas. Topic is Adhikaranam. And 27 sutras in total. Then in the second chapter, first Pada, Vyasacharya deals with Smriti Tarka Virodha Pariharaha. Smriti Tarka Virodha Pariharaha. There is no smriti and logical contradiction in Vedanta. That is the establishment of that. There is no smriti and logic is tarka. So smriti and tarka, that virodha parihara, to establish no contradiction in Vedanta. In short, Vedanta is a rational or logical system. It is intellectually a convincing system, and Vedanta can stand the challenges posed by even modern science. Because logically, there's no contradiction also. Modern science is mostly logical. All these important ideas are contained in this Pada. And therefore, this whole Pada is the most important Pada in the entire Brahma Sutra. That is, Swamiji has chosen all the Adhikaranams, 1 to 13. In this Pada, all the Adhikaranams, 1 to 13 Adhikaranams are there. All of them are considered important. Therefore, after studying the Chatusutri, if one is interested in to study more, this Pada is the most important Pada to study. All Adhikaranams are important. So in the first chapter, we already said those four Adhikaranams, 1 to 4. And now here we are telling 1 to 13. And the next Pada is an offensive Pada. We had defensive Pada I mentioned earlier. This is an offensive Pada. We can say the first Pada we said is defensive Pada. Here offensive means what? Vyasacharya tells all the other darshanams. He tells all of them, don't find fault with me. With me means Vyasacharya, Siddhanti. You all have doshas. You don't try to find fault with me. But in your system itself, you have several fallacies. Such as Smriti, Shruti, Tarka, Virodhas are there in all other darshanas. Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, as well as all the Nastika darshanas also. Here, Nastika darshanas are also critically analyzed. Therefore, Because in all other things, at least they have the astitvam. Whereas Nastika, they don't believe in astitvam at all. Therefore, this pada will help those who are interested in studying other systems of philosophy. Therefore, it is called Anya Mata Dushtatva Darshana Padaha. Anya Mata Dushtatva Darshana Padaha. Then the third pada is Panchabhuta Jivati Shruti Virodha Parihara. Third pada, next one. Panchabhuta Jivadi Shruti Virodha Parihara. And Vyasacharya says, Vedantic teaching does not contradict any Shruti Vakya at all. And then as an example, Panchabhuta Shrutis are taken. All the Shruti Vakyams related to Panchabhutas. Vedic statements dealing with the Panchabhutas and the nature of Jiva. They are all taken here. Therefore, Panchabhuta Shruti Vakyani, Jiva Shruti Vakyani, they are all taken up and it is shown that there is no contradiction anywhere in the Vedas. In short, Veda does not have any internal contradiction whatsoever. Shruti Virodha Pariharaha. And in this pada, Swamiji also has chosen the Adhikaranams 10 to 17. Because in these Adhikaranams, the nature of Jivatma is analyzed. For example, whether Jiva is Anu, Madhyama, Infinite, all those things we all went through all those analysis. In fact, these are the portions where there are differences in the commentaries of Advaita commentators, Dvaita commentators, Visishtadvaita commentators. Therefore, Jiva Vichara from Adhikaranams 10 to 17 of third pada considered important. Then the fourth pada is Sukshma Sharira Shruti Virodha Pariharaha. The subject matter of the fourth pada is Sukshma Sharira Shruti Virodha Pariharaha. Therefore, various Shruti statements dealing with Sukshma Sharira, subtle body, regarding the Pancha Gyanendriyas, Pancha Karmendriyas, especially the nature of Prana, and Vyasacharya shows that there is no internal contradiction anywhere. They all have got clear teaching. And here, actually Swamiji has not taken any particular adhikaranam here, but if there is any interesting adhikaranam, it is the nature of prana that is done very beautifully in that adhikaranam. We went through the story and all that, if you remember. Then we will go to the third adhyaya. That is the sadhana adhyaya. And the first pada that Vyasacharya analyzes is Gati, Agati, Vicharadvara, Vairagya Nirupana. This is the topic. Gati, Agati, Vicharadvara, Vairagya Nirupana. Here Vyasacharya talks about the Ajnani's travel after death. Ajnani Jiva's travel after death, Vyasacharya talks about elaborately. It's a very elaborate analysis. A nice compilation of the travel. Where all the Jiva goes and how he takes the next birth, when does he get the next body, will he take the next body immediately or much later, what will be his conditions during this travel time, travels from Bhuloka to Brahmaloka, all that. If anyone is interested in life after death, this pada is to be read. They can read this pada. We have not chosen any adhikaran here, even though Swamiji himself has not chosen any particular adhikaranam. People are generally interested in this pada because everybody wants to know what happens to me after death. So all these things are all described here. And what is the purpose of this discussion? It is to get vairagyam. That is the intent, which is an important qualification, being tired of the helpless journey. So the journey is so involved, so tiresome. Let me not get into this journey at all. Let me get moksha right now. Sadhya Mukti, let me get right now. So the second pada is Tattvam Padartha Nirupanam. Tattvam Padartha Nirupanam, second pada. So Tattpadartha is Jiva's nature. Tvam Padartha in Tattvamasi. Tattpadartha is Jiva's nature. Tvam Padartha is Tattpadartha is Ishvara's nature. Tvam Padartha is Jiva's nature. And even Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam is not point, is pointed out there. Asipara. This is an important pada because it is Mahavakya Vichara pada. The second pada is Tattvam Padartha Nirupanam. That's what I said. So Mahavakya Vichara pada. Here, the Swami chooses actually the fifth adhikaranam, sixth adhikaranam, seventh and eighth adhikaranam, where Ishvara's nature is discussed nicely in all these four adhikaranam, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Four adhikaranam. Again, adhikaranam is not sutras. We have seen Jiva's nature in the previous adhyaya, and Ishvara's nature is nicely presented in these four adhyaya, four adhikaranam in this adhyaya. The third one is the parapara brahma vidya gunopasamhara nirupanam. Varieties of upasanas are taken predominantly. Gunopasamhara nirupanam it is. Saguna, nirguna, they are all there. But predominantly saguna upasana. And the dissimilarity and similarities of various upasanas are talked here. So many upasanas. They are similarities, dissimilarities, they are all talked. This is purely an academic exercise only in the context of the entire Brahma Sutra. It's an academic exercise. But we need to know which upasanas are similar, which upasanas are dissimilar, highly technical pada. Generally, we avoid. And Swamiji chooses only one adhikaram, 30th adhikaram. Where Vyasacharya has refuted the Charvaka Mata, the material philosophers, or Dehatmavadis. Consciousness is proved as a separate entity in this particular adhikara, in this particular pada. Therefore, it is very, very important, the refutation of the Charvaka Mata. The fourth pada, that deals with Param Brahma Vidya Sadhanani. Param Brahma Vidya Sadhanani, the spiritual disciplines for Brahma Jnanam. Brahma Vidya Sadhanas. This is an important pada from sadhana angle. It is a very, very important pada. And here we get Karma Yoga very elaborately. And Nididhyasanam is also discussed. Many beautiful adhikaranams are there. And Swamiji has enumerated first adhikaranam, fifth adhikaranam, sixth adhikaranam, eighth adhikaranam, and ninth adhikaranam. All these deal with Karma Yoga and Nididhyasanam. All these adhikaranams are considered very important. And now in the fourth chapter, the first pada deals with Jivan Mukti. Freedom from Sanchita and Agami Karmas and continuation of Prarabdha Karma. That is discussed in great detail. Jivan Mukti. Thus the karma analysis we find in this pada, and therefore it is important because we need to know karma, what impact it has, analysis of karma. And the adhikaranas important are the first adhikaranam, second, and 7 to 14, not 7 and 14, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. All these, they are the karma portion. Sanchita karma is gone, agami is gone, prarabdha is not gone. All are said there. So this Jivan Mukti is for Nirguna Brahmajnani. Nirguna Brahmajnani. We should be careful. Not Saguna Brahma Upasaka. This Jivan Mukti is for Nirguna Brahmajnani, that we should very carefully note. And the second pada, this first pada, and the second pada discusses Saguna Upasaka's Mukti. Nirguna Upasaka, he gets Jivan Mukti. Nirguna Brahmajnani. Should not say Upasaka. So Nirguna Brahmajnani gets the Jivan Mukti, and Saguna Brahma Upasaka also has got Mukti. We already mentioned here two for Mukti. He leaves the body at the time of death. That is talked about. How he leaves the body at the time of death. Saguna Upasaka, how he leaves the body at the time of death is talked about. So Upasaka's Utkranti, if you remember the term, Utkranti, departure, is talked about. And we find lot of people interested in this particular adhikarana, generally. Even though we don't want us to be interested in that at all. We don't want any travel after death and all. We want to get Mukti right here and now. Jiva comes to Hridayam, the nadis are illumined, goes through Sushumna Nadi, all that thing. And then the third pada is Shuklagati Nirupanam. Shuklagati Nirupanam. How the Upasaka travels, Upasaka Jiva travels through a special path consisting of 13 devatas or stations, stages. If you remember all those stations and all we went through, 13 of them. And all these were very elaborately discussed. And there also no particular adhikarana is chosen by Swamiji, as we are all jnanis already. We have come to fourth chapter. We are already jnanis. We don't have to worry about all these travels and all. So thereafter, from the fourth pada. The fourth pada, it deals with Brahma Prapti and Brahma Loka Sthiti Nirupanam. Brahma Prapti and Brahma Loka Sthiti Nirupanam. Brahma Prapti of a Nirguna Brahma Jnani is talked about. Brahma Prapti of a Nirguna Brahma Jnani. And also Brahma Loka Sthiti. Brahma Loka Sthiti for a Saguna Upasaka. So Prapti for Brahma Prapti for Nirguna Brahma Jnani and Brahma Sthiti, Brahma Loka Sthiti for a Saguna Upasaka. His presence in Brahma Loka, which is otherwise known as Vaikuntha for Vaishnavas or Kailasa for Saivites and all that. And extraordinary powers he enjoys in all those places. That is all discussed here. This is called Saguna Mukti. This is Saguna Mukti in Brahma Loka. And then he attains Krama Mukti later through Nirguna Brahma Jnanam in Brahma Loka itself. Thus Jivan Mukti, Videha Mukti, Saguna Mukti and Krama Mukti are all talked about. And the important adhikaranams are here 1, 2 and 3 dealing with Brahma Prapti. And Swamiji has selected totally all these adhikaranams, whatever I have mentioned so far, it is 58 adhikaranams of the total 191 adhikaranams and 197 sutras in total in the entire Brahma Sutra. If somebody doesn't have time, at least first four. If somebody has some more time, all these, that should be adequate, at least for revision. Even though we have gone through the entire Brahma Sutra, at least for revision once in a way, if a person can visit these adhikaranams and refresh oneself, at least one can still keep in track of and tune with the central theme and the teaching of Brahma Sutra. So this is the general analysis of the summary of the entire Brahma Sutra, containing 555 sutras. And now before I conclude, I will say a few other things also about Prasthana Trayam. I have to particularly I have to acknowledge, appreciate and show my gratitude to them for those students who have been attending my lectures for the past 30 plus years. As I started right from Tattva Bodha, they have been attending all classes until this last class of Brahma Sutra. So Prasthana Traya completion is by itself is not an ordinary task, because normally people take the separate Upanishads, some Upanishads, some portions of the Upanishads. I have already mentioned in Chandogya, people don't deal with all the Upasana chapters. They go through the last 6, 7, 8 chapters only. But we went through everything right from the beginning through all the chapters and all the shlokas of all these things, whether it is Bhagavad Gita, the Smriti Prasthana, or the Dashopanishad, the Shruti Prasthana, or Brahma Sutra, the Nyaya Prasthana of all the 555 sutras. And before that, we have done all the Prakarana Granthas. All this from Tattva Bodha onwards through Viveka Chudamani, Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha, and so many other chapters. Each one has got so many elements of Vedanta. All of them, whether it is Dakshinamurti Stotram or Nirvana Shatkam, Sopana Panchakam, whatever it is. Many of those things also we have done side by side. And also this chunk of literature called the Prasthana Three, Smriti Prasthana, Shruti Prasthana, and Nyaya Prasthana. And this concludes the Nyaya Prasthana also and the Prasthana Trayi also. So that is considered extremely rare for people to sustain through this entire level of both teaching and also learning. And this is a very, very systematic teaching. As I have mentioned in many times, Vedanta teaching and learning, that jnanam should be accrued over a period of sustained learning for a length of time through a competent teacher. Here, competent teacher is only my guru, not me. So don't be thinking about competent teacher myself, because the guru from whom I learn and the guru Acharya through whose blessings I have been able to talk all these things. Because when I came to Brahma Sutra, I was a little, I wouldn't say scared, I was a little hesitant whether I should take this up at all or not. And the first four sutras, I mentioned in the class jovially. If you don't want to continue beyond these four sutras, you can stop. Chadasutri, that tells all. But even though internally I was thinking whether I should continue or not, because that is the subject we are getting into. But it so happened, my Manasiya Guru Swami Paramarthananda's lectures and also Sankara Bhashya, I got a textbook, very, very extremely nicely written textbook. And from that, I could even do the kramam in which a Brahma Sutra lecture has to be given. I followed that. So that was also very, very useful. So that way, it made my life a little bearable. I won't say pleasant, it's bearable, but it ended up to be very pleasant, because as I started to learn Brahma Sutra more and more, the nishtha in this knowledge, that became very reasonably firmed up. So that way, it is a very, very useful thing for me and for those people who have really stayed through for all these 30 plus years. My hats off to them, because this is not like going to somewhere far when there is raining, you get into a building and attend a lecture. It is not like that. It is for real, shows real conviction and also their belief in this learning. So this is one thing. And then, as I told, these things could be possible only when not only the effort on my side, but also on the sincerity of the students. And many of the students who are sincere, as I told, I have always my appreciation to them, and I always wish all of them very well. And I again and again, I cannot even count the number of times, I offer my Sashtanga Namaskarams at the lotus feet of my Jagat Gurus, my Gurus, and all of them whose great blessings are always with me to continue in this path. My prayer to our Acharya all the time is, as long as this body is alive and kicking, I should be in this Dharma. This is what the only thing I ask him whenever I see him in person in Sringeri. So with that, Prasthanatraya is a very important step that has been completed with their grace. And I heard that some of our students, they wanted to mark this yatra. This is for those who have been through this for all the 30 plus years, they know what really it meant. For all of those who got in between stations, they traveled for some time. Some people, they got down after some stations. Some people who got in between, they continued till the end. But these are from end to end, terminus to terminus students. Actually, for those people, it is, they know what it really means. So they have kind of, some of them have asked about how we can, perhaps, because this is very unique, maybe outside of India, to systematically complete Prasthanatraya, not even missing even one sutra or one shloka, in a systematic manner, as really outlined in the way this should be taught. But it is all in English, because this is how we communicate here. So that is good. So that way we could have more participation of more people, and we could expose this cherished literature to a lot of people who have real interest in the subject. If there is any entertainment, you can have a lot of crowd. But in Jnana Vishaya, there is less entertainment to start with. But as you go into it, I always give the example of an ant getting into a can of sugar. So once it gets into the sugar to the surface, it will see, if it goes around a little bit, then it might leave. But if it gets interested, it gets into it and into it and into it, to the extent it cannot even come back outside that easily. So that is the extent of this learning. This learning, the nature is like that. Once you get into that, it becomes part of it, part of you. So it is. I enjoyed it. So I like this entire course. And if they plan, they have asked me today also. So if they are doing something like that, all those who are interested, they will communicate to you if you want to participate in that event, where we will have some opportunity to go through this entire process that we have gone through so far in these 3+ decades, and also whatever we have accomplished in terms of our own elevation of our personal selves, our own motivation to higher goals, and our own emphasis on the the dharmic values of in everyday day-to-day life and to live a true life of a good human being. So with that, I again would like to conclude offering my prayers to my acharyas, my guru, and all my well-wishers. Yo vedadau swara prakto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilina seya parasa maheshwaraha purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnamevavasishyate om shanti shanti shantihi shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om shri krishna namaste.